Carrie Klein leans against the railing of a wooden platform at the Annan Wildlife Observatory, laughing out loud at the black bear drama she's spying on below.
This baby, I think, is trying to learn how to get salmon. And instead of getting a live one, it went in, waded in and got a dead one. And now, and brought it up and is now chawing on the dead salmon that doesn't look very appealing through my binoculars. It's determined it's going to feel proud of its catch there.
Klein lives in Brooklyn. It's her first time seeing bears like this in the wild. And her experience so far, she says it's been...
unbelievable. It's very humbling and kind of amazing. God, it makes me emotional to think about how irrelevant we are here. That this is all going on in front of us and we're totally just witnesses to it. For somebody from New York where everything's about people, this is not about us.
At its heart, Annan is really about fish. The creek here is one of the most productive salmon streams in the region. And that abundance has attracted people for a long time. It's been an important Tlingit cultural and fishing site for thousands of years. And it also attracts bears. Lots of them. Forest Service staff estimate there are 50 to 60 black bears and around 15 to 20 brown bears that feast on the salmon banquet in the height of the season in July and August. Now, the bears themselves are the major magnet. That's because here at Annan, you don't just watch bears eat and play and fight from a safe viewing deck perched high above the action. You also share the trail with them.
Oh, bear.
Oh.
Come on.
Just now, a juvenile black bear has decided to stop right in the middle of the path, a few yards away.
You gotta go around, buddy. Whoa.
It sits down and lazily scratches its cheek with a hind paw. Luckily, the Forest Service's site manager, Trina Wade, is at the front of the group. She sees this kind of ornery behavior on a daily basis.
So that's their way of, bear! Trying to be like they're submissive, but they don't care. They do it to other bears, too.
Yeah.
But they're not really concerned about you.
Her emphatic foot stomping, hand clapping, and firm instructions eventually convince it to continue on its way.
Good. Good bear.
And she never touches the shotgun she carries on her shoulder. Over time, bears here have become habituated to human presence. Agency staff and tour operators teach visitors how to behave safely and predictably around bears. And they've got it pretty dialed in. There have been no major human-bear conflicts since the early 1990s. Now, as Annan continues to grow in popularity, the Forest Service is less occupied with dangerous bear behavior and more concerned with how to help humans from being a hazard to themselves. This is evident in Phase 1 of the Master Plan, which was just completed. Some of the changes are subtle, but one obvious one is the toilet situation. Outdoor recreation planner Dee Galla has worked here for 2 decades. She remembers when one of the outhouses was tucked back in the woods, away from the main viewing platform.
But you had to leave the gate, and you're walking, and that area right there where it crossed is one of the main avenues for the bears. And so we were always, you know, having bear encounters with people. And people would get stuck at the outhouse for like 15, 20 minutes sometimes, you know, and we had a little peephole, you know, and they'd look out, and they'd wiggle their finger, and sometimes we'd have to wait.
There's a new outhouse up there now, built securely inside the protective railing, and a fancy double vault toilet near the trailhead, which doubles the old one's capacity. Sections of trail have been smoothed out and are now barrier-free. And a new, wider bridge over the lagoon lookout point provides a safe place for folks to stop and take pictures without creating a bottleneck. All in all, these Phase 1 renovations cost around $470,000. Wrangell District Ranger Bob Dalrymple and other agency officials were there for the ribbon-cutting ceremony and the unveiling of all the upgrades. With the agency's budget on a relative decline, Dalrymple says that money for construction improvement projects like this one is especially tight.
We competed for that funding against all the projects in the region, and this just came up. It was our time, I guess, and it just weighed out in the need for it and the benefit of it.
With this project winning out, there isn't money left for other recreation work on cabins or trails in the district, a sore spot with some locals and tour operators. Annan is not a profit-making venture for the Forest Service. Since 2003, the number of visitors has been capped at 60 per day during the 2-month peak season. Each visitor permit costs just $10. That permit revenue doesn't come close to covering staff time or site upkeep. But there is a spillover effect. Almost 3,000 people visit Annan per year. Most of them are tourists who pay hundreds of dollars to take a guided trip to this remote site, accessible only via boat or float plane. And then they spend more money in Wrangell. Wrangell's economic development director, Carol Rushmore, says,
"It's very huge. They estimate that people that actually go to Annan spend over $1,000 per person. That's what they're contributing to the economy."
A group of those international tourists is about to head back to town. They stride down a new staircase, artfully laid into the rock formation, and hop easily into their boat. Julia Horsburgh from Melbourne, Australia, had these parting words.
It was like stepping into heaven.
The Forest Service plans to roll out more improvements in its master plan over the next few years, as funding allows. Reporting at Annan, I'm Nora Sachs.